You see, my friend, forgiveness is not weakness or lack of conviction. It is not indifference or tolerance of a person's wrongdoing. It is not agreeing with their sin, and it is certainly not you pardoning them. It is both an attitude and an act on your part, an attitude of mercy and forgiveness for where they have hurt you, and a positive, aggressive act of your will whereby you release them from indebtedness to you and you cast away all hard feelings and resentment. If one of the most beautiful words of the Bible is forgiveness, why do so many Christians find it ugly and repulsive? When we are the needy recipients of God's mercy and forgiveness, it is something wonderful, attractive, and cherished. But you see, my friend, the kind of forgiveness that we love to sing about, the kind that flows down from God to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, is not the only forgiveness that matters. We are called, yes, even commanded, to exercise another forgiveness that is often repulsive and ugly to us. This repulsive forgiveness is the forgiveness that we are to show to others. We are happy to receive it from God, but we are repulsed when the Father says that we are to demonstrate it towards those who have done us wrong. I once heard an interesting story that illustrates this very fact. It is a true story that had to do with a great artist, Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci was one of the outstanding intellects of all history, for he was great as a draftsman, an engineer, and a thinker. Just before he began work on his Last Supper, he had a violent quarrel with a fellow painter. So enraged and bitter was da Vinci that he determined to paint the face of his enemy, the other artist, into the face of Judas, and thus take revenge by handing the man down in infamy and scorn to succeeding generations. The face of Judas was therefore one of the first that he finished, and everyone could easily recognize it as the face of the painter with whom he had quarreled. But when he came to paint the face of Christ, he could make no progress. Something seemed to be baffling him, holding him back, frustrating his best efforts. After a period of time, he came to the conclusion that the thing which was frustrating his efforts was the fact that he had painted the face of his enemy into the face of Judas. He therefore painted out the face of Judas and began anew on the face of Jesus, this time with a success which has brought him much acclaim. The conclusion? You cannot at one and the same time be painting the features of Christ into your own life and painting another face with the colors of bitterness, hatred, and unforgiveness. Leonardo da Vinci had to discover the meaning and importance of forgiveness before he could go on with God's will for his life. And my friend, so must we. Let me begin by mentioning some things that forgiveness is not. I have found in the lives of many Christians that they think forgiveness is something that it is not. This confusion sometimes causes them not to show true forgiveness towards those who are in desperate need of it. I want to mention four things that forgiveness is not. First, forgiveness is not weakness or lack of conviction. Many people mistakenly believe that to forgive someone is to demonstrate weakness and a lack of conviction about biblical truth. Nothing could be more wrong. If exercising forgiveness was a manifestation of a lack of standards or convictions, why would Jesus tell us to forgive? Surely He wants us to take a stand for the truth and to live by godly convictions. No, forgiveness is not a sign of weakness. In fact, just the opposite is true. Showing forgiveness towards those who have wronged you is a testimony of spiritual strength and conviction that few appear to have in our world today. As someone said, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Exercising forgiveness is definitely not the easy way out. Second, forgiveness is not indifference. Maybe you have a situation in your life where someone seriously wounded you and hurt you. Your response to that hurt after a period of time is to just ignore it. You have learned to tolerate that person without thinking evil thoughts towards them, and you have chosen to just be indifferent in your relationship with them. Because you may have no uncontrollable anger or thoughts of revenge towards that person, you think that you are exercising godly forgiveness. Nothing could be further from the truth. Forgiveness is not indifference. and indifference should not be mistaken as forgiveness. Just tolerating someone is not forgiving them. Rolling over and playing dead is not what the Word of God teaches about forgiveness. Forgiveness is positive, active, and aggressive. It is not true forgiveness unless a positive resolution has been sought. To just be indifferent towards those who have hurt you is, in reality, to be guilty of trying to bury the hurt. Like a cancer, it will remain and grow unless it is aggressively sought after and rooted out. Third, forgiveness is not agreeing with the wrong. To forgive a person for what they have done is not to condone the action. It has been said that you can hate the sin without hating the sinner. Jesus' example was to hate sin, but love sinners. His attitude should be our attitude. We need to be able to separate the sin from the sinner. It is the only way we'll be able to honestly forgive. And fourth, forgiveness is not pardon. It is personal. Pardon is legal and involves punishment. God has not given me the authority or right to sit in judgment and pass sentence on anyone else. When I forgive them, I am not pardoning them. Only Christ can do that. To forgive is personal. It has to do with my feelings towards someone else for an offense against me. Though I forgive them, person to person, they must still deal with God for their sin. It is in their dealing with God that pardon finds its proper place. In what way, then, can we describe the act and attitude of forgiveness? In the New Testament Greek language, there are three words usually translated as forgive. One of those words describes having an attitude of mercy or love. It means to bestow unconditional favor. It is used in Ephesians 4:32, where we read, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Another word describes the cancellation of an obligation or debt. This word is used in Luke 6:37, and the idea is that of releasing a person from responsibility. Listen to Jesus' words. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." The third word is the most common and also the strongest of the three. It is used by Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. This word literally means to hurl away or to free yourself from something. Once again, listen to the words of Jesus. "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." So what is God saying to us in His Word? He is saying to us, this is what forgiveness is. It means to have an attitude of love and mercy towards the one who has wronged you. It means to cancel out their debt to you and consider their obligation covered. It means to throw away all resentment and bitterness you have towards that person. You see, my friend, that is not weakness or lack of conviction. It is not indifference or tolerance of a person's wrongdoing. It is not agreeing with their sin, and it is certainly not you pardoning them. It is both an attitude and an act on your part, an attitude of mercy and forgiveness for where they have hurt you, and a positive, aggressive act of your will whereby you release them from indebtedness to you and you cast away all hard feelings and resentment. As we close this study for today, remember two important truths. First, forgiveness is a goal that we must strive for, not an emotional experience to wait for. If you are waiting for forgiveness to just come upon you, it won't happen. You must make the choice. And second, God forgives us because of what Jesus has done for us. We are expected to forgive others because of what Jesus is doing in us. Your willingness to forgive others will be in direct proportion to the reality of Christ's work in your life and lordship over your life. I pray that God will give you victory in this area of your life and that He will help you break the chains of unforgiveness.